Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, hello, raw feeders. I'm Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company. We are Pets Health is our business, and we're friends like my friend, Dr. Judy Jasek. Well, she doesn't let friends feed kibble. Good morning, Dr. Jasek.
Good morning, y'all.
How is Tennessee today?
Tennessee's great. Well, we're a little soggy. We had quite a bit of rain overnight, but
Good
because I was out planting all kinds of seeds and stuff, and I'm getting my gardening. And I was telling my husband, I said, I don't know if everything I'm planting grows, like, I don't know what we're going to do with all the food, but I guess it's a good problem to have.
You'd be standing out on the corner selling it, right?
I'll be out just selling. I'll just give it away. You know, there got to be somebody out there that wants a good organic, you know, homegrown food. But it's fun because coming from Colorado is hard to grow things because it's, you know, it's sandy soil. It's dry. Get 10 inches of rain there. So here, you know, it's rainy and more humid. So it's a lot easier to grow things because I'm excited. I like to garden it. You know, I enjoy having my hands out there in the dirt. So
did you notice last season the mosquitoes in your area? Is that a thing?
You know, I mean, probably more than Colorado, but I didn't think they were that bad. Never saw fleas, but you know, we have bats here. And
nice.
I'm like, come on, guys. You know, people freak out with bats because the whole rabies thing, you know, and all that. And they're like, they're kind of freaky looking little creatures when you look at an up close picture, but they eat the mosquitoes. So when I see bats flying, I already seen them fly around. When I see them flying around here at night, I'm like, yeah, that's awesome because they eat. And that's one, you know, that's one way to take care of some of these insects. If you find out like what's native in your area that eats, you know, there's always something that eats things. There's things that eat fleas, things that eat ticks, and there's natural ways to help mitigate that. So when I see the bats flying around, I'm pretty happy. And we don't have any standing water, like right close. I mean, there's lots of people have ponds and stuff, but like not right here on our property. So, you know, not that bad. Never saw fleas. We do find some ticks, you know, pluck ticks off here and there, but, you know, not that bad, not as bad as like what some people, there's so much fear, you know, like, and I've been talking to a lot of people now. Like last week I did a number of consults just on like, okay, what do I do with heartworm and all that? Cause especially people from the South or people that move to the South and like, oh, people say, you know, or they say, you know, who's they anyway?
They
say, I don't know who they is, but they're really smart because
they're powerful.
Because when they speaks, man, people really pay attention that them theys, you know, so people, they say that, you know, heartworm disease is really, you know, prevalent here in the South. Like, okay, well, let's break this down. It's not just out there waiting to attack, you know, it's spread by mosquitoes. So when are the mosquitoes out? You know, like maybe don't walk your dog or have your dog out at dusk when the mosquitoes are really bad, or, you know, some people don't even know it's spread by mosquitoes. They just think it's out there. Like, and it's just gonna, because they live in a state that they say is prevalent, then your dog's just at risk. So you better put them on the prevention. Like, let's get informed. Information is power. I just recorded a Substack on this. Like, information is power and fear is marketing, right? Fear sells things. Information is power. So if you're, as soon as you're afraid, it's just, I need more information. So where does heartworm come from? How is it spread? What's the life cycle? You know, what, you know, if you know, it's just about the mosquitoes and you can help mitigate the mosquitoes, then that's going to help. And, you know, I hear all the time too from people that when they switch to a raw diet, like they're on kibble, dogs are on kibble and they switch, that they don't have as many problems.
Right.
With dogs. And even in the same household, this was really interesting. I talked to a client last week and we were talking about this and natural preventatives and repellents and all that. And they had two dogs, and one of the dogs was a rescue, and it had a lot of vaccines when it was young. So it kind of had some chronic skin stuff, just ears and skin stuff that would, it wasn't awful, but just a little more inflamed than the other one. And she said, if we're going to find fleas on one of the dogs, it'll always be that one. Like the other one, or no, I think it was ticks. Actually, I think it was ticks. That dog that's inflamed, that's the one that they find the ticks on. The other one, they rarely do because they're healthier. Like the bugs are attracted to that inflamed, musty, yeasty odor. So the healthier you keep your pets. So if you think about it, changing the diet, spend a little more on some raw food, and you don't have to worry about these preventatives or the flea and tick or the tick-borne diseases, or which I don't even think any of that exists. I think there's just so much, I just think there's just so much fear and so many stories out there. I don't know. Well, it's hard to know what to believe, but I know this, that we've been programmed to be afraid of a lot of things that probably we don't need to be afraid of.
Well, they do it like this. So Brian sent me this article that was on Facebook because people were freaking out about rabies, right? So we just did the rabies webinar. You did the rabies webinar. You've got it on your site. It's on our Rumble webpage. So if you go over to Rumble, okay, guys, it's Raw Dog Food and Company. You're going to see the rabies webinar. It's right there with all the slides and everything with Dr. Jasek. So go over there and watch it. But he sent me this. This came out of Petersburg, Virginia. So a neighbor of yours. The Virginia Department of Health has announced that a pet cat in Petersburg recently tested positive for rabies. Okay. They're now warning the residents to make sure their pets are protected. This was a 3-year-old male cat that tested positive for rabies. The cat supposedly was an outdoor domestic cat. Now listen to this. That has been known to interact with other cats. Oh, no. Interact with other cats.
Heaven forbid.
That's terrible. It should be antisocial. But it says, you know, the rabies is a preventable disease, and we encourage all pet owners to vaccinate their animals to protect them and the community. Okay. It says, if you want to protect your family and you want to protect your animals, here's what you got to do, Dr. JC. You got to avoid contact with wild animals or stray cats and dogs. Don't feed wild animals or stray animals. What does that have to do with rabies? Okay. Report stray animals to the local animal control. Eliminate outdoor food sources around the home, and you keep your pets confined within your property lines or walk them on a leash. But best thing is to get your pets vaccinated.
Carson, now, get them vaccinated.
There is nothing in here that tells us how they tested and why they tested. Supposedly, Brian said that this cat on Facebook that how did he say it? They knew the vet tech that got bit by this cat. And that's why they tested it, because it bit a vet tech. Now, it was asymptomatic, but we know that asymptomatic people and pets are still infecting the world today.
Right, right. And like,
Lord.
And like, cats never bite, right? You know, like, cats never bite when you're doing something to them. I mean, I guess I've been nipped by a few dogs. But the absolute worst bites I've ever gotten are cats, because cats, you know, you're handling them. If you're at the vet, you're doing stuff they don't like. And especially if they're kind of wild, like a little bit feral. Oh, man, they will nail you because they're cats, not because they have rabies. And it's interesting they don't mention the testing, because, you know, the gold standard from the CDC is testing the brain, which means they have to kill the cat. So do they kill the cat because it bit this vet tech? Like...
Well, okay. Then I said, well, what about the rabies vaccination that the veterinarians, you know, have to get? And they said, well, vet techs get the option to get the rabies vaccine. Okay, I'd much rather be a vet tech then. I wouldn't get it. So here in this book, that you have and that Neely has and that I have, the final pandemic, an antidote to medical tyranny, which our pets are under medical tyranny.
Absolutely.
But anyway, they really show you in here how they build these narratives, which I just demonstrated in reading that. And they say it's corporate media pushing a sketchy plot as though it was reality. And that's what they do.
Exactly.
And they say that she uses this example in her book. She says that they say things like fears of a newly deadly virus outbreak have begun to spread after three people died in Argentina this week from a mysterious case of pneumonia. And she makes this statement. She says somehow the word fears are now taken to mean scientific evidence.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the way they do it.
Yeah.
And everybody goes, oh my gosh, you know, there's an outbreak of parvo here. There's an outbreak of rabies. Really? Again, if we actually went to this clinic and said, can you give us any proof and how you tested for this crazy virus that's just waiting out there to jump on you or your pet? Could they really give it to you?
You never see test results, you know, and nobody asks, but I think that would be a very valid question. How did you prove that? You're just supposed to blindly believe it. And then once people are afraid, that's all it takes. And I bet you 80% of pet parents in Virginia are running in, getting their pets updated on their rabies vaccine. You know, another interesting thing about that is this whole like, I think they're going to be moving us humans towards another lockdown, you know, and they're doing the same thing for the pets. Keep them close to home, keep them on a leash. Don't let them, you know, like they're talking about these 15 minute cities where, you know, everything you need is going to be within 15 minutes. So you never need to leave. Well, you're not going to be allowed to leave is really, I think, what they're going to try to do. But it's interesting how they're pushing that same agenda. Don't let them interact with other animals. Heaven forbid you have wildlife, you know, come into your yard. You know, they're pushing the same agenda. Just keep everything, you know, consolidated into your home. Don't reach out. Danger, danger, danger out there in the world. You know, they're pushing these same agendas, all based on fear.
Yeah. And I was reading in this Life Learn Animal Health. Now, this is a site where veterinarians go to be educated, which is weird to me. But anyway, they're doing this whole, how do you get the pet parents who are now vaccine hesitant to come in, right? This whole blog is on that. How do we, and they use this word, misinformation, all the time. There's so much misinformation out there about vaccines, and they have saved so many lives and so many animals. But I want to ask you this question, Dr. Jasek. I want to ask you, are you okay if we inject you with a little borax? Just one. I mean, how about a little borax? Are you okay with that in your body? Mm-hmm. And I'm talking about the borax that you use in your washing machine.
No.
Okay.
No.
No, you're not okay with that? Well, how about ethyl mercury, right? So that's also known as thimerosal, if I'm saying that right, thimerosal. Mm-hmm. And yes, that's what you use on minor cuts. Would you be okay if we just injected a little bit of mercury into your body?
No, I don't think so.
No? No, you don't think that. Okay, well, how about this? Let me find another one. How about, would you be okay if you had some modified live viruses in something that we could just inject into your body? It might help you if you ever came in contact with something. I mean, you might never come in contact with anything, but is it okay if we just put, you know, attenuating agents in your body, antigens? Would you be all right with that?
Nah, I think I'd pass on that. Yeah, I think I'd pass on that.
So these are just some of the things. What about formaldehyde? Do you know the thing that we put in people? Is that what we put to do taxidermy, and do we put that in dead people? Formaldehyde? Is that what we, yeah.
It like it basically, well, it's what they put like tissue samples into, like you do a tissue biopsy and you're going to send it to the lab and you put it in formaldehyde because it like it preserves it, like, but it's not compatible with life. No.
Well, listen, it's a known carcinogen, Dr. Jasek, but this known carcinogen will save your life. That's I mean, that's what they say. But here are the other things. Would you be okay with a little bit of chick embryos, fetal bovine serum, aborted fetuses, you know, kind of the lung of aborted fetuses, monkey kidney, dog kidney, or porcine gelatin? Would you be all right with that
Boy,
sort of thing just going into your body?
that sounds delicious. I think that sounds like a great like meal. I could like, injected though. No, not injected.
Yeah, these are the things that are going into the vaccines. These are harmful dog vaccine ingredients. And how people can read this, know this, and say, but it is going to keep my dog from getting this rabies thing that probably doesn't even exist. Because how did we determine rabies? By Pasteur squirting something in the brain of a monkey and it's foaming and, you know, acting wild. Well, listen, let's just see if we can do. Would you guys be all right if we just, you know, squirt something in your brain?
Yeah, and then see how you act. It's like it's ridiculous. You know, and seeing that list of ingredients, like, is it any surprise that dogs itch after these things? They have all that stuff in there they could be
Oh.
reacting to. But oh no, it's the chicken and the food. It's not the embryos or the monkey cells or the formaldehyde, the thimerosal. It's none of that stuff. It's the food. Right. It's got to be some food allergy. Let's do some allergy testing because, yeah, my pet just got six vaccines with formaldehyde in it, but I'm pretty sure it's still the food. Must be the beef.
So interesting that you say itching, because an article out of Epoch Times Health was talking about this new information that's coming out, and it says the risk of developing chronic hives was calculated to be three times higher for the Moderna recipients compared to the general population. And it says that it was talking about this one woman who actually started having skin problems and continued to get another vaccine and then another booster. And it's like her skin is just out of control. But there's nothing wrong with these vaccines. Nothing wrong with these vaccines. But they are showing that definitely a safety signal there. Causing this is happening over these tests are happening over in with the Danish authorities, and they said that these vaccines, COVID-19s, are being associated with chronic itching and chronic eczema of the skin. Imagine that. Imagine that.
Imagine, imagine that. As in our pets, so in humans.
Yeah, and but they're still pushing it. They're still pushing it, and our people are still buying it. There was another article in this Life Learn, and I think it was in the rabies article about the vets, and they said the veterinarians are still one of the most trusted doctors out there. And so they were saying, utilize that. Utilize that to get your people back in, to avoid vaccine hesitancy. And this company called LifeLearn, they actually write all the marketing materials for the vets, right? They talk about here's the misinformation, and here's how you talk to them, and here's how you get them back in for their yearly
And
shots and things.
isn't it interesting how they're not saying people need to get these shots to make their pets safe? They're saying, how do we get them back in? Meaning, how are we going to keep our income up? We got to keep the people coming in the door. They're concerned about the people coming in the door so that they have to pay for an office visit and pay for that. They're not saying we need to get these pets in for their own health and safety. They're saying we need to get them back in. And that, in my mind, that translates into to keep our income up. Because if people aren't coming in the door, how are they going to make any money?
Oh, for sure. And part of this LifeLearn group, what they do is they help you track your ROA, your return on investment, right? Mm-hmm. And not that vets are not supposed to make money. We're not saying that, right? I'm all for capitalism. I'm all for making money. But what I'm saying is that I think there's a concept that they're just doing this out of the goodness of their heart to protect our pets. And yet, when we look at all of these different things, the preservatives, the antigens, all everything that is in a vaccine, and then we look at how they push it, right? So that they get people in the door, they create these fear scenarios that they don't really have to prove, and they sell substandard food. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just put it all together, and you see why we have a very, very sick animal population.
And isn't it pathetic that the veterinary profession, like, this is all they have to offer people to get them in the door? Like, they don't have any other merits. It's like the politicians that don't have anything really good to say about themselves, so they just put everybody else down. Well, they're using the fear of getting these diseases that probably don't even exist to get people in the door because they have nothing else to offer. That's all they got to offer people. I remember one of the things that really turned me around early on in my career when I started realizing that, you know, we were trained as veterinarians to be pawns of the pharmaceutical company. I heard the word vaccinarian and I thought, vaccinarian, like that's what we're being trained to be. They come in, you give the vaccines, you give the drugs, and you send people, you know, on out the door. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And you know what? I've got a completely holistic practice. I don't even see pets in person. Telemedicine. I mean, I went through a little financial pain to get there because I had to change my business model and all that way back when. But when it comes full circle and you offer a service that's valuable and people see, well, pets are healthier because I'm not doing all that stuff. And then people want to come into you, you know, because of that. But the vets don't see how they can make a living if they're not pumping this poison into their patients. It's so sad.
It is sad. And I don't know how they break free, right? They just don't. This article where I was reading these ingredients is from Dr. D. Bianco. And I think, you know, Dr. Bianco as well. And she was saying that she's been studying vaccinology for 31 years. And she said, so when you find the good in these vaccines, you let me know, because for the life of me, I can't find it. Mm-hmm. So it's not just, and she said, you know, current law regards vaccines as unavoidably unsafe. And that was stated by the U.S. Supreme Court. So she said, you know, in her mind, she's violating her Hippocratic oath, which is to first do no harm, if she injects your dog with a vaccine that includes any of those above ingredients. And I read a very small portion of those ingredients. And yet, there is the narrative. There's a virus out there. It's called rabies. It's just lurking. It's going to, your dog may eat, no symptoms, Dr. Jacy. There is no symptoms, right? But it they're lurking inside the body. This is the whole game that they did to us, right? Asymptomatic super spreaders. Mm-hmm. Well, you got to read The Final Pandemic if you want to get it straight in your mind so that you're not under medical tyranny anymore. But reading this makes me, It it's not even heartbreak for the dogs. It's terror. I mean, it's just like all of the dogs everywhere going in, whether it's every year or every 3 years, to get this stuff put in their body.
And the poor pets have no voice. I mean, their people are their voice and they have no say in it. I bet if you asked your dog, hey, do you want to go in today and let's go to the vet and they'll give you an injection with a whole bunch of poison and they'll probably give you a milk bone afterwards. Don't you want to do that? You know, like your pet would be like, hell no, I don't want to do that. But they don't, you know, they don't get that choice. And that's what's, you know, people can make their own choices, you know, children can't. So I feel bad for the kids too, because they're just hauled into the doctor, you know, month after month after month, and they get all, you know, injected with all this stuff too. Human adults can at least make their own decision, but pets can't. And that's why I feel like it's so important that we're out at least trying to be a voice for the animals and to, you know, spread some information. So maybe more and more people will, you know, will be aware.
Yeah. And, you know, it's every single day that I talk with pet parents who have itchy pets, right? And yes, get them off of kibble. Stop putting the flea and tick and the heartworm in them. There are so many homeopathic remedies that you can use. You know, we've got the flea flicker, right? It's essential oils. And you just spray it on your dog. You talk about garlic, you know, using garlic. But certainly getting all that yeasty smell away from your dog. Mm-hmm. Get them off the kibble. And there's so many substandard foods out there that say they're organic, that say they're healthy, that say they're this, that say they're that. You guys, look, meat, bones, organ, and fat. Right. A few veg, right? Raw meaty bones and a lot of variety of these different meat, bones, organ, and fat. How difficult is that? I don't understand why that's difficult, Dr. Jasek.
Yeah, I don't know why. And you know, we talk to people about this all the time too. And it's really hard for a lot of people to truly believe that that's what their pet needs to eat, that they don't need to add in the something else. Well, they need something else, or, you know, don't they need some vitamins or something? You know, it's just meat, right? Exactly. It's meat. Well, it's bones and organs and everything too. But yeah, it's very hard. I think it's just people have been programmed to believe that the complete and balanced, and that they need to have all these, you know, nutrients, this nice list of nutrients in there. It's been very effective programming by the pet food industry. Even the vets are programmed that way, you know, to believe it. But when you think about it, it's their natural food. It's what they were, you know, it's what they were meant to eat. It's what they'd eat in the wild. The wolves aren't going to, you know, natural grocers picking up their multivitamin every month, you know,
well,
living.
It's because the other narrative of our soil is so depleted. Okay. But so we're walking around like without any kind of vitamins and minerals in us. I mean, why are we eating? You know, why don't we just eat some sort of chemical soup that they've made? Right? Chemical soup that they've made that has everything in it that your body possibly needs. It has magnesium, vitamin D, vitamin A, E, K. There is such a disconnect, right? I do believe that if you feed your dog the same thing, even if it's a raw diet, the same thing, turkey, chicken, beep, 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 pork, you know, and you never feed them anything else, yeah, they're probably going to be missing out on something. So you got to do that rotation.
The rotation.
You know,
I see that so much. That's probably one of the biggest things that we correct for people that come into us that are already feeding raw, is they're not rotating, because they start and say they start with turkey and the dog's doing okay on it. Of course, they're coming to us for some reason, but they're then afraid to branch out, like, okay, I made that step. It all went well. I don't want to take that other step. I, you know, I don't want to jump into the deep end of the pool and actually start rotating proteins. But yeah, they will end up deficient. You have to rotate. That's where I think this can go wrong. That and not having enough bone. A lot of people are doing home cooked. They'll do home cooked or home prepared of some sort. And not only do they not have any bone in there, but they're not even adding in a mineral supplement, you know? And so those animals are definitely going to be mineral deficient. So, you know, there's definitely ways to do this wrong. And we end up, you know, correcting a lot of that. We have a nutritionist now on her team, on our team, and she talks to everybody. And those are real common things we see in people mm-hmm. that have ventured out. They're doing their own thing. And people that kind of do that on their own tend to want to do the home prepared. It's like, why are you doing the home prepared? It's so much work. It's hard to source all the ingredients. Where are you going to find spleen and lung and all these
they
organs
don't.
And everything? And you can't, so they're not going to get the variety. And, you know, like your blends, I mean, are so easy and simple. Like I wouldn't dream of trying to shop for, you know, all that stuff. Unless I didn't have any choice, you know, and I had to go, you know.
You had to kill a deer out there.
Yeah, or I'd go, you know, well, the neighbor's got cattle, you know, I'd just go over there.
Right? No, we used to do that back in the day, and like the livers are so, I mean, you stick your thumb right through them, right? They're just, I don't know. And pancreas, man, that does not, it's hard to keep that good, right? The pancreas goes bad really fast. So there's a lot of things to it. And yeah, I think that the pre-mades are good. You still got to rotate. We see it all the time. And like I said, 8 plus B doesn't always equal C, Dr. JC. For instance, people will say, well, this blend doesn't, my dog doesn't do well on this blend. Now, that may be true. But now, I've never seen it, right? Because I do all the blends. But what else is going into the diet? And this is the thing that we really, if you really want to do a test, regardless of what it is, you've got to take everything out, everything, and feed just the food. And I mean just the food for a week. Now, people will say, yes, but I've been giving this fish oil forever and they've been fine on it. Well, maybe they're not fine now. Maybe there's a buildup, but you can't know if it's just the food. If you're putting other things in it, you've got to get simple. And then I say, okay, let's do another blend for just a week. Don't put anything else in it. And let's see what's happening. Now, you could do that, but I don't know if you've gone and done a vaccine. I don't know if you've done a monthly heartworm. I don't know. Okay. But you have to break it down. And there's so many times that there's something else coming in, and how in the world, you know, you can arrive at it is just this blend is beyond me.
Right. You know, another one that I run into as far as things that can cause problems, these dadgum year-long heartworm shots. Like, don't put something in your pet that you can't take out, you know, so they got these shots that you don't have to give the monthly preventative and all that. You just give them the shot once a year. Well, that's having an effect on your pet's body for that entire year. And maybe you gave the shot 6 months ago, it's supposed to last a year. So what if that's having an ongoing effect and now it's affected the gut? You know, I mean, those are the sorts of things that can be really hard to drill down and find those things, but all of those things, anything you're putting in your pet's body, especially chemicals, because anything, you know, your pet eats something outside, finds some dead thing, eats it, that little diarrhea, it's going to be gone in a couple of days. But this lasting, where it just doesn't get better, you know, those are ongoing effects and probably from some sort of chemical that's having a lasting effect on the pet's body.
I'd like to know how that really does work. How in the world do you inject something into the body? Is it an injection or is it a pill that lasts a year?
It's an injection. I should look it up and see what's in it.
Man, so it has some sort of technology that says, okay, you're going to dispense this much into the dog's body every month? How in the world does that work?
You know, and I'll tell you, oh, well, of course, it's safe. Dee Zoetis makes it. Zoetis okay. is the veterinary branch of Pfizer. So we know we can trust them implicitly.
We can.
What are we worried about?
We're Just not.
Just forget all that. They're
That's
fine.
Crazy. Yeah, what was I thinking?
Well, and I'll tell you, the other thing is that ProHeart came out. This was still when I had my clinic. So I don't know. Time goes by so fast. Maybe 15 years ago. ProHeart had a 6-month shot. They got pulled off the market because of side effects.
So no.
You think now they came out with a year-long shot that's perfectly safe? It probably doesn't even do anything. I mean, except make your pet sick.
Yeah, itchy. And then we go into Apoquel or Cytopoint. And then we, yeah. It's a racket. But again, we know it's a racket, Dr. Jasek. Mm-hmm. It's just that our pet parents are not catching on that it's a racket.
Mm-hmm.
And because
veterinarians are trusted. I really think people really want to be able to trust their vets, you know? So I think they do trust them until, you know, sadly they run into circumstances where, you know, they realize they can't. And, you know, the people that are coming to see me, which I realize is a very minute percentage of the pet parent population, but I have people coming to me saying, they're saying, I know my vet killed my last pet. I had a pet die and I know they killed it. I know the treatments killed it. And if I'd known what I know now, that wouldn't have happened. But, and they don't want to go in. They're like, you know, and sometimes like the pets are sick and like, I can't tell via telemedicine, like what exactly is going on. They're like, I don't want to go in. I don't want to go. And I don't blame them. But it's hard for them to find, you know, sometimes they just need, you know, hands-on care. So the people I work with are definitely starting to wake up. So that's good to see.
Yeah.
We just need more of them.
We just need pet parents to, I don't even know, experience what a pet looks like, feels like, acts like, when it doesn't have all these toxins in their body, and to get some history, right, that says, my dog didn't come down with rabies. My dog didn't, you know, just walking outside, and I've got all types of animals around here. But I just, you know, first of all, we've taken a look into this virus type nonsense, right, that it just jumps out there and gets you. So when you really look at it, what's the truth? In this book, The Final Pandemic, she points out there was a patient. I think his name was Joseph, and this was back in the Pasteur days, right? Mm-hmm. Where he was bitten multiple times by a dog. And the people, the doctors and all the people around were just certain that he was going to die, that he was going to die of rabies. Now, he didn't, you know, he just had dog bites. So they gave him this so-called whatever Pasteur was shooting into people, and he didn't die. Now, he didn't have any symptoms of rabies, and they gave him this vaccine, and he didn't get rabies. So they said, oh, the vaccine worked.
Right. But maybe he wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
Right.
Probably wouldn't have gotten it anyway.
Right. Right. So this is the way that A plus B doesn't always equal C. And this is what I try to tell to my pet parents. You know, don't jump to conclusions. I had someone who said that their dog had an allergic reaction to a beef lung treat. Now, beef lung treats, especially the ones that we have, are nothing but dried beef lung.
That's why they're called beef lung treats.
That's why they're called beef lung. you know, but if you, but anyway, and she said, so the vet has me feeding my dog chicken and rice. And the question was, what do you think about rice? And the answer is, we would never recommend the rice. no matter what the situation. And the answer back was, yes, but my dog had an allergic reaction.
Right. And we were so like, that means it's going to react to all the other raw foods too, just because it reacted to the.
And did it.
Supposedly, which it probably didn't.
And I was like, yeah. And so we don't even kind of engage sometimes in the questioning of, well, how did it have an allergic reaction? And did you have it? I mean, because it's just, it goes on and on and on, right? So we just try to sometimes just stick to the question, what do you think about rice? Well, I wouldn't do it. Why would you do it? Well, because they have to have a bland diet because they had an allergic reaction. Well, why did they have an allergic reaction? What causes?
That rice is known to have be high in arsenic or be carrying arsenic. So, you know, no, I don't recommend giving arsenic to your pet.
Don't. But this is your typical, yeah. You know, my dog has an upset stomach. Okay, put him on a bland diet, cooked rice and cooked chicken. Well, why? They don't eat that out in the wild. Why would you do that? I don't know.
That's another one of those things that chicken and rice, like, and I've heard that for so many years, decades now, probably about as long as I've been practicing. That's just like, upset. So I don't know what to do. This is the vet. So the vet say, I don't know what to do. Just try some chicken and rice. And the pets often get better, but is it because of the chicken and rice, or they were just get better anyway? Like, do a bone broth fast. That's what I say. Just, you know, give their gut a break. If they got a little upset stomach, a little diarrhea, just give their gut a break. Let them finish their detox. You know, you can give them some bone broth during that time, something bland like that. But then that's all they need. And then they bounce back and they're fine.
So, you know, all those ingredients that I was reading in the vaccines. And the reason, you know, I was looking at this because I was talking or I was listening to what they were telling me about this dog who supposedly had this allergic reaction. So it's like, what causes an allergic reaction, right? And supposedly the body creates all these antibodies when it has a foreign invader in its body, right? And this can cause, from what I understand, you can make this much more simpler, but that it creates a lot of antibodies to protect the body. And these antibodies, in fact, cause sneezing and weepy eyes, too many of those, I guess. That's kind of what I read. Is that how that works?
Right. You know, supposedly. I mean, I say that is the,
I know, that's why I say
that's yeah. The conventional
explanation
yeah. For it, that you make, you know, something comes in and yeah, a foreign invader, like something the body wants to get rid of, you know, you make antibodies and then you have this reaction. But, you know, I mean, I started to question like this whole thing about allergies, like are allergies really a thing? Or is it just, it's like I look at it more as like a detox reaction. There's something there that the body wants to get rid of. Like I've been out gardening and we've got this big pile of wood chips that we had the guys that cut the trees deliver last year. And so I'm hauling these wood chips. And man, there are some days I can go out there and I mean, my nose is running, my eyes are burning. And I see, you know, it looks like mold growing in there. So I could say, well, I'm allergic to mold, right? Oh, must be allergic to mold. Or I say, my body doesn't like those mold spores. So it's just trying to get rid of them. My eyes and my nose and everything are saying, because as soon as I come back inside and I'm inside for a little bit, you know, I'm fine. So I look at it more like my body doesn't want those mold spores in there. So it's kicking it out. Now, in the case of the lung, I would say most likely that dog just, it reacted to something else. Like you said, it's like A plus B does not, just because two things happen at the same time does not prove cause. And lung is probably one of the most bland things you could give your dog because it's airy. It's not a very dense, you know, very dense tissue. So whatever they saw it, that happened at the same time that that dog ate long, it was probably trying to detox from something else. That would be what I would think.
Right. Although the fourth ugly growth medium in the vaccine is aborted fetus lung. But I was like, well, you have to step back and say, okay, if your immune system is producing these antibodies, and they make the antibodies to identify an allergen or something that is harmful, they say it does that even though it isn't harmful, right? So it makes sense to me that if your dog has had these things put in its body, right? These preservatives, the surfactants, the antigens, all these different things. Well, maybe it could, your body could say, this is harmful because it came in,
right?
Number one, through a needle, and you know, doesn't work that way. But so you got to look at, why are kids so allergic to milk or peanuts or things like that? This used to never happen, and now the body can, you know, potentially cause life-threatening circumstances like closing off your throat, things like that. But
yeah, I think the vaccines, like, the immune system gets so dysregulated, it doesn't know what's friend or foe anymore.
Right.
You know, it doesn't know that, like, you know, milk isn't harmful or peanuts are, and there's true. I mean, you know, there's some people that, like, cannot eat a peanut or their, you know, throat. Like, that would be what I would consider a true allergy. But still, the body's still reacting and trying to get rid of something. It just can't do it. I mean, the symptoms become life-threatening in the process. But yeah, that never used to happen. You know, that, you know, years ago, you know, old people like us, you know, like our generations, that we didn't get all those as many vaccines, you know, there weren't as many food allergies or as many side effects or as much autism.
Well, anaphylaxis, right? So where happens for a foreign invader. And remember when these folks were getting the COVID vaccines, you know, there was a loss of consciousness, a drop in blood pressure, you know, shortness of breath. Mm-hmm. Gosh, but let's get another one.
Let's get another one. And now, you know, now these people have long COVID because those of us that didn't get the vax, you know, kept them getting it. They kept getting COVID over and over and over again because us evildoers that chose not to get the shot. And now they have to keep getting the shots to protect themselves against us. Now they have long COVID. It's not, you know, had them anything to do with the vaccines. Now they're suffering with these, you know, long COVID symptoms. I've read some things online where people are just like complaining because, you know, oh, you know, woe is me. And, you know, I got COVID and now I just can't get over it. It's like, it's all because of the vaccine, you know? So like this, they're playing on this long COVID narrative and not the fact that all these people are sick because of the vaccine. Because COVID, in my opinion, never existed. There was never a virus. I mean, they might've been spreading something that made people sick, some sort of bioweapon, but it was never actually a virus. And then they started pumping full of these vaccines, and that's what's making people sick. And that's what makes our pets sick. Because do you think it's not the same technology? It's the same companies. They're probably putting the same technologies in these animal vaccines that they're putting in the human vaccines that are causing, you know, all this, you know, causing the heart failure and causing all these diseases in young people. And what am I seeing in dogs? I'm seeing really aggressive cancers in 2, 3, 4-year-old dogs. I never used to see cancer in dogs under 5 years of age. Well, what happens early in life? You know, and even if they're not on a good diet, usually the diet doesn't, you know, really, really make them sick, like give them cancer till they're older. You know, they still make it till 7 or 8. But now these really young dogs, I know it's the vaccines that are causing them to get so sick, just like the, you know, turbo cancers in people.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so you guys, you really got to do, you got to keep backing up, right? So you got to say, well, what causes right? Really sad. Mm-hmm. What causes allergies? What has happened in the body that says this is a foreign invader? What's been injected into the bodies? How would you know if the childhood vaccines are now up to what? Almost 80, right? And then you look at the vaccines that they're adding a lepto vaccine to the vaccines for the dogs. All right, go through all of those ingredients, right? You want to look at raw dog food as a culprit? Okay, meat, bones, organ, and fat. Okay, but go into the chemicals of vaccines, flea and tick, and heartworm. Look at all those ingredients and really understand what those ingredients are. Because the borax is, that's in the vaccine, is the same borax that you would wash clothes with. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's so many, and if you can really make sense of that, then tell me how to make sense of it. Because I can't make sense of, yeah, I put all these things in my dog and none of these crazy ingredients, right? None of the formaldehyde, the mercury, the borax, none of that makes any difference, right? But true food, real food is the culprit.
Plus the fact that, I think you said this a little while ago too, all those things are injected. They're injected into, by they're going like right into the bloodstream, like pretty fast. I mean, it's not injected directly into the bloodstream, it goes underneath the skin, but it's absorbed into the bloodstream really fast. Any food goes through the digestive tract. It hits the hydrochloric acid in the stomach, which is going to kill anything that really we don't want in there. If there is any, you know, bad bacteria or anything that we really, that's not wanted in the body, we got that hydrochloric acid that's going to help get rid of that. And then the body breaks it down. So there's all this processing before it even enters the bloodstream. So yeah, what's the most likely cause of a reaction? Something, all these foreign substances that are getting injected right into the bloodstream, or something that's being slowly processed in the digestive tract?
Yeah. In another article in Dogs Naturally, where Julia Henriquez had written, she said, all vaccines have potential adverse reactions. She said, and those can range from fairly mild reactions like lethargy or soreness to really severe ones like the anaphylactic shock that we were talking about, autoimmune diseases, and even death. And her next line says this, the vaccine can also cause the disease it's intended to prevent, which is exactly what Dr. Amanda Bailey says in this book. She says,
Sam Bailey.
Yeah, Sam Bailey. I call her Amanda all the time, I think, because I don't know why. Our daughter's name is Amanda. But she says treatments, there's a chapter in here, it's right here on page 77, treatments that cause the disease. And which one does she start with? Rabies.
Go figure. Yeah, because you damaging the nervous system with Pasteur's original treatment was you're injecting this toxic soup, you know, into the body that's going to directly affect the nervous system. So of course it's going to cause the symptoms. Like, how can it not? The poor rabbits that they inject the dog saliva into their brains, like, how are they not going to have rabies symptoms after that? You know, it doesn't make any sense. And I just can't. It's just so hard to fathom that even, you know, scientists fell for it. Pasteur was like a hero for coming up with all this stuff and figuring out all this stuff and you know, saving all the, you know, poor people and pets, you know, from rabies. And it was probably all for nothing. Like, it never even all this propaganda and rabies probably is based on absolutely nothing. That's pretty hard to fathom, but I think it's true.
Yeah. I'm going to go into Dr. Cowan's group on Thursday, and I'm going to ask him this question about allergies. You know, in your research, because they do so much research and they do so much testing, as a matter of fact, they put out this call to all the virologists. And they said, because they're talking about these viruses, because their point is this, who cares if it was, you know, the narrative is the COVID was a lab, you know, created virus, or it's a this or it's that. He's like, if you cannot isolate a virus, if you cannot find a virus, then all that stuff disappears. The argument is over, right? Because you've got to start with the basis. And the basis is, what is a virus? How do we know it's a virus? Have we ever isolated it? Have we taken that virus and actually inserted it into a well person and made them sick? Have we done that? And the answer is no. And so he's put out this call. He's like, prove me wrong. Just do these steps.
Mm-hmm.
Do these steps
for yourself. For any virus, not just COVID, but for any virus. Can anybody definitively prove that any virus has been isolated and shown to cause disease? It's never been done. Not for any virus ever. And how much of the medical industry is based on that premise that there's these viruses? You know, the whole vaccine industry would go away if viruses didn't exist. Like, think about that.
You know how many of the shots would go away for the dogs?
Pretty much all of them.
Rabies, distemper,
parvovirus,
adenovirus, right?
Yeah, it's like parainfluenza. Yeah.
Yeah. They'd all go away. Oh my
gosh.
They'd
have to really start pushing those lepto shots because that's all they'd have left.
Right? Because God knows it's in all the pee of all the squirrels.
Squirrel pee. And you know, dogs go out there and they drink squirrel pee all the time, right out of the bottom of the squirrels.
You know, yeah. I'm going to go in, though, on Thursday, and hopefully, because if you get in early and you raise your hand, you can ask a question. And I want to ask him about, you know, what does he think about allergies? How do allergies actually develop in the body?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And because I want to ask him about these allergy tests, too.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
Because so many people spend so much money on allergy tests. I had somebody the other day who said, my dog can only eat, you know, they do this all the time because, you know, we've done an allergy test. And it's like, please, you know, go work with one of our experts, because these allergy tests are going to take you down a very narrow rabbit hole that's not going to be good for your dog. Right.
I dread when I'm like reading like the intake, a new client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just shudder every time I see one with the allergy test results, because people do tend to get very locked into that. And like, mm-hmm. for the life of the pet, they can't ever try those things. And it's people really believe those allergy tests, hook, line, and sinker. And I don't see, you know, we were talking about correlation. I just don't see the correlation, because the reason people are coming to me is they followed all that stuff and they've stopped feeding all these things and the pet symptoms are still there.
Right.
So they're like, well, now what do I do? Like, well, that didn't work, but I still can't feed it. Well, why can't you feed it? Stopping feeding it didn't make any difference. So clearly there's some other reason for your, you know, what's going on with your pet. In the meantime, you're depriving it of good nutrition because you're feeding, you know, only ostrich or something, or alligator or some, you know, because that's what people get to, like, all they test positive for all the common proteins, probably because they got, you know, leaky gut, their bodies are just really inflamed. But what they're picking up on the tests is not, well, I would say not necessarily, it's most often not the cause of what's going on with the pet. There's more of an underlying issue that we need to be addressing.
Which is why you guys need to work with Dr. Jasek and her nutritionist over there. It's at ahavet.com, ahavet.com. Well worth your time, well worth your money, because listen, you're going to spend a whole lot of money trying to figure out what's going on with your dog when they can zoom in on it, a play on words, they can zoom in on it very easily doing a Zoom with Dr. Jasek. Hey, listen, don't forget to check out Dr. Jasek's education page. You've got information on flea and tick and heartworm. That's something that people really need to know about right now as we go into that season. Don't get scared. Don't believe the propaganda that you can't deal with it naturally. You can. We have people doing it all day, every day in all states. Okay. Also, make sure that you take a look at the rabies webinar. Okay. That's on video. It's going to have all the slides. And you want to be armed with that information. Dr. Jasek, one quick thing before we go. One of our listeners, you said, took that information to her vet, and her vet didn't even know what the rules and regulations were around the rabies, right?
Yeah. Oh, gee, what a surprise. Actually, it doesn't surprise me at all. That's, they don't know because they're just following the propaganda.
So do you, how would you know what this vet would think? But hopefully this vet is like, maybe I don't have to do it. Here's the thing. I don't think it takes too much to send them right back into their box, though, right? Like you get some information from the Life and Learn or whoever the corporate entity is that owns that clinic, and they scold them and set them straight, right? And they run right back into the box. And regardless of what the truth is, a lot of them still will go down the path that makes them most comfortable.
But still, I think true, because they're in their comfort zone and everybody's practicing the same way. So it's comfortable, but you know, you got to start somewhere. And I think the more people go in there and start, the more times they hear it, maybe eventually some of them, especially like we've said, the private, you're not going to probably get anywhere in the corporate clinics. Don't go to the corporate clinics. I mean, that would be the first thing is find clinics. If you're going to go into a vet clinic, find the ones that are privately owned. Outside of the ER, it's pretty hard to find, you know, an emergency clinic. Your pet has a true emergency, go where you got to go. But for any kind of general care, find the clinics that are privately owned because you can get somewhere with those vets. It's like you were just saying, though, the corporate vets, the VCAs or Blue Pearls or whatever, any of these clinics that are corporately owned, they have to follow the rules of the corporation. Their job depends on it. So you're not going to probably get anywhere there. And I don't think we should be supporting corporate medicine anyway. So find the privately owned clinics and you're going to stand a much better chance of if those vets hear it enough times, they might be, maybe I need to change. Like I sent you that email with, I had a client that went to the state vet. I think she was in Alabama. She went to her state vet. Her cat had had like an autoimmune disease in its nail beds. And we got it cleared up and the cat was doing great. But she doesn't want to do any more rabies vaccine. So she went to the state vet. That's like a regulatory position in the state. They're not actually in private practice. And she said, you know, my cat had this condition. If I could get a letter from the vet I've been working with, which is me in a different state, would you exempt my cat? And he said he would. I wrote the letter, which I thought was really cool. But she then said he was like shocked that vets were actually telling people that their licenses depended on them vaccinating the pets. He says, that's not true. He says, we don't take vets' licenses away for not vaccinating rabies. You know, like he was like shocked that because he's not in the general practice. He doesn't practice in that world. And he was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. The vet isn't going to lose their license just because they don't give a rabies vaccine. You know, so I thought that was very interesting. So just got to keep getting the information out there. She gave him the link to the video that we did the webinar. I don't know where you watch it, but she gave it to him. So
the state vet, she gave your rabies webinar. That's amazing.
She gave him the link to the webinar. I don't know whether he watched it, but she said he was shocked that vets were actually telling people that they could lose their license if they didn't do the rabies vaccine. So it gives me a little hope that, you know, it's like it feels like an insurmountable mountain to climb. But, you know, what does every journey start with? One step. Right. So we just keep plugging away and you can turn one vet's head and maybe you can turn another vet's head. And then, you know, maybe step by step, we can start to make a difference. But if you don't start somewhere, you're never going to do anything. And if you just sit back and say, well, I guess I just got to, or just have to, well, then our pets are going to continue to suffer. So just keep plugging away. Just keep doing. I really honor the people that are willing to at least bring it up to their vets, bring up one or two of these facts, because, you know, slowly but surely, maybe we could start to turn a few heads out there.
Well, if two men in white suits come, you know, white bodysuits come knocking on your door, run out the back as fast as you can. They're sending the crazy paddy wagon. You're ready to grab you because you're waking up too many people. That's amazing. I love that. I wonder what the Colorado state veterinarian would say.
Don't know. Colorado doesn't strike me as the most, progressive state, but you never know. You could ask them, say, hey, is it true that vets will lose their license? You could ask the state board, hey, I'm just wondering, is it true that my vet will lose their license if they don't give my vet a rabies vaccine? The same state board where the practice code says veterinarians should be giving informed consent. It'd be interesting to see what they have to say.
Yeah, we might just have to reach out to them anonymously, of course. So anyway, all right, guys. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. And Dr. Jasek is working on yet another educational webinar. This one's going to be on liver enzymes because we have a lot of questions that come up with the liver enzymes, okay? And a lot of pet parents get very scared about elevated liver enzymes. They many times get diagnosed incorrectly regarding liver enzymes and put on substandard protocols with liver enzymes. So I guess we need an educational webinar on liver enzymes.
We'll do it sometime next month. I'm working on it. So yeah. I guess next month's almost here. So
it is almost here. Yes.
I better get busy.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening today. Tell all your friends to follow us on the Raw Dog Food Truth. You can find us on all different outlets, Podbean, Spotify, Blog Talk, Apple. Just Google the Raw Dog Food Truth. Make sure you get over to work with Dr. Judy Jasek. She's at ahavet.com. Get your dog on a species appropriate diet. You got to do that. Get off the high sugary processed foods. No good.
Don't feed them Fruit Loops.
No Fruit Loops. No cakes, cookies, and chemicals. The three C's leading to the fourth C, cancer. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Get over to rawdogfoodandcompany.com where your pet's health is our business. And what, Dr. Jasek?
Friends, don't let friends feed kibble, y'all.
That's right, y'all. All right. We'll see you soon, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snaps.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.